All prophets say, are those who know equal to those who do not know?
The Immortals, a link to the life and works of Persian and Muslim dignitaries.
Fortunate is he who remembers Allah abundantly. Worldly distractions cannot mildly sway his thoughts of Allah and Judgment Day.
In His name, we start another edition of the program, The Immortals, coming to you from the Call of Islam radio station, Holy City of Qom, Islamic Republic of Iran. In the program, The Immortals, with the presence of Dr. Fakh Rouhani, we are mainly concerned with the life and works of the outstanding dignitaries in different fields of studies, specifically the Persian as well as the Muslim ones. I would like to welcome Dr. Fakh Rouhani to the studio of the Call of Islam radio station. Good day, Dr. Fakh. Thank you very much. You accepted the invitation again.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Dr. Fakh Rouhani, regarding the life and works of the outstanding luminaries in different fields of studies, specifically those who are Muslim and Persian, this session I would like to get to the life of Sharif al-Murtaza or Sayyid al-Murtaza. You know, in a specific program, we get to the life of his brother, his youngest brother, Sayyid al-Razi, the compiler of Nahj al-Balagha, okay?
Yes.
But this session we want to focus on the life of Sharif al-Murtaza. Before getting to the life and works of Sharif al-Murtaza and his specialties, I would like to give a brief summary of, we can say, his family and birth background, and after that we'll get to next parts. Okay, Dr. Fakh?
Okay.
Thank you very much. You know, Abul Qasim Ali ibn Hussein Sharif al-Murtaza, commonly known as Sharif Murtaza or Sayyid al-Murtaza, was born in 965 and passed away in 1044 AD, equals 355 AH up to 436 AH, and what was one of the greatest scholars of his time, and one of the students of Sheikh al-Mufid. You know, he was the elder brother of Sharif al-Razi or Sayyid al-Razi, the compiler of Nahj al-Balagha. He was 4 years older than his brother, and he lived during the era of Buyid dynasty. It was the golden age of Arabic literature, and the great poets like Al-Mutanabbi and Al-Ma'ri was among his contemporaries, like his brother. You know, Dr. Fakh Rouhani, Sayyid al-Murtaza was born in a prominent household, directly descendant from the Prophet of Islam, Prophet Muhammad. And it is said that, you know, the episode of Sayyid and Sharif shows this exactly, that they were among the descendants of the Holy Prophet himself. It is documented that his parental lineage is directly traced to the 712 Imam, Shiite Imam, Imam Musa al-Kazim, while his maternal lineage is traced back to the 4th Shiite Imam, that is Imam Zain al-Abidin. You know about his paternal ancestry, maternal one, his specialty and works. We are really happy with listening to your speech on that.
Okay, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. As you know, the two brothers, Sharif al-Murtada and Sharif al-Radi, were living in the time of the Buyid dynasty, who were basically Shiite Iranian, dynasty.
Okay.
In those days, Baghdad, as the seat and capital of the Islamic empire of the day, was spending its golden age of Arabic literature. So it was quite common for belletrists and Arab men of literature to get together in Baghdad.
That's right.
It's important to mention that in those days, in Baghdad, you could find such great poets, Arab poets, like Al-Mutanabbi. Even today, a street in Baghdad is named after him,
okay.
Al-Mutanabbi Street in
Baghdad. He was a literary figure?
Yes, okay. He was a very important poet,
okay.
A prominent Arab poet in Baghdad. And also Abu al-Ala al-Ma'arri.
Yeah.
The point is that in those days, there were some intellectual trends in Baghdad, in order to materialize the frames, the intellectual frames of work of people, in the Islamic world. As you know, with the apparent disappearance of the infallible imams, and especially due to the mercenary attitude of the Abbasid caliphs, it was natural for the Arab society of Baghdad of the day to have some material and mercenary inclinations. So you see that Abu al-Ala al-Ma'arri, who was a renowned literary figure in Baghdad and in Arabic literature and in Arabic poetry, in many of his poems you find some disrespect or paying little attention to religious beliefs and so on.
Okay.
So such great and renowned Shiite figures like Sayyid al-Radi and Sayyid al-Murtada could perform a very influential role in those days in Iraq, simply because they were quite renowned figures in the realm of scholarship and literature at the same time. If anybody may want to compare these two brothers, Sharif al-Murtada and Sharif al-Radi, I should like to say that both of them were important figures in the realms of religious scholarship as well as literature. But Sharif al-Radi's fame rests more on his literary talent, and Sharif al-Murtada's name and fame rests more on his academic scholarship in the fields of religious education and fiqh, okay, religious rules. As you know, since these two brothers' lineage can be traced to the infallible imams, I mean, paternally to Imam Musa al-Kazim, the seventh infallible imam, and maternally to Imam Ali ibn Hussein al-Sajjad alayhi salam, they received a very high and important semi-political or diplomatic position of the Baghdad of the day. I mean, like the father, who was a naqib, a leader or a chief personality of the Shiites of Baghdad, this post was given to the late Sharif al-Radi after his father. And after the demise of Sharif al-Radi, this honorific and highly socially influential post, niqaba, I mean, leadership of the community, was given to Sharif al-Murtada. Regarding the ancestors, regarding the, I mean, Sharif al-Murtada's mother, it's enough to know that his mother was basically Iranian. And his mother's name was Fatima, basically from Iran, from northern Iran, in a region nearby the Caspian Sea, seashore of the Caspian Sea.
Okay.
His mother was a very pious lady. In that, the great Shiite theologian and jurisprudent, Sheikh al-Mufid, wrote a book, developed a book, Ahkam al-Nisa, I mean, the religious rules which concern the women at the request of their mother, I mean, Fatima. I mean, the mother of the two brothers, Sharif al-Radi and Sharif al-Murtada. This is, in fact, an honor in that a person would approach, I mean, topmost scholar and would propose him, would ask him for the answers to a set of questions. And that great scholar devoted a whole book to her inquiry.
Yeah.
It shows that, I mean, Sharif al-Murtada's mother wasn't an ordinary lady. I mean, she must be a very important personality in the city of Baghdad of the day.
Also, we know that at her request, Sheikh al-Mufid started teaching Sayyid al-Razi and Sayyid al-Mustafa.
Yes.
What was the story exactly?
Yes, the story goes back to this point that one night, the later Sheikh al-Mufid dreamt a very strange and revelatory dream at the same time. In that, the late Sheikh Al-Mufid's dream was that Fatima al-Zahra took the infallible Imams al-Hassan al-Hussein right. to the school or college where Sheikh Al-Mufid was teaching and asked him to teach these two Imams religious education and fiqh. While Sheikh Al-Mufid got up in a state of agitation and got puzzled. The next day, Sheikh Al-Mufid noticed that a lady entered his classroom and uttered to him, Ya Sheikh Allimhum Al-Fiqh, O Sheikh, teach them, and these two sons of mine, the fiqh. And then the dream which Sheikh Al-Mufid had the previous night came to his mind, and he did his utmost to educate these two prodigies. And in fact, Sheikh Al-Mufid did his best. I think if Sheikh Al-Mufid had no other student other than these two persons, it would be more than enough for Sheikh Al-Mufid to devote and to perform his duty toward the world of scholarship. The later Sharif al-Murtada compiled a lot of books, among them Al-Zakhira fi Usul al-Fiqh. It's a book about how to approach the principles of jurisprudence. Al-Ghurar wa-Durar, which is a collection of hadiths. Al-Intisar al-Shafi, Tanzih al-Anbiya, it talks about the merits of the prophets. And his last book is Jamal al-Ilm wal-Amal.
That's right. But Dr. Farquhar, you know, these books need more discussion, more elaboration, okay? Let's have the specialties and the compilations of Sayyidah Murtaza after taking a break.
Okay.
Thank you very much. Dear Muslims from around the world, we'll take a break, listen to a religious song. I'm back in a minute.
Do you know what Islam is? It's a way of life for all. It is taught in the Quran for big and small. A way of life, a way of life, a way of life, a way of life. Islam is a way of life, a complete way. Do you know what Islam says? It says that life's the greatest test. It says that life's a borrowed space, returned upon rest. A way of life, a way of life, a way of life, a way of life. Islam is a way of life, a complete way. Islam solves all of its problems. Allah leaves no stone unturned. Perfect with no flaws at all are the laws of Allah.
We are back with the rest of the program, The Immortals, coming to you from the Call of Islam radio station, Holy City of Qom, Islamic Republic of Iran. In the program, The Immortals, we are mainly concerned with the life and works with the outstanding dignitaries, specifically the Persian as well as the Muslim one, in different fields of studies from around the world. Dr. Fakhrouani, the faculty member of the University of Qom, is here with us. Okay, Dr. Fakhrouani, you know, when we get into the details of the life of Sharif al-Murtada, we find that Sayyid al-Murtaza acquired the epithet of Alam al-Huda. What is exactly the title of Alam al-Huda and what does it mean?
Yes, the title, this honorific title of Alam al-Huda means the banner of guidance. Alam in Arabic means banner or flag. Okay. And Huda means guidance or direction.
What does it mean, the banner of guidance?
Yes, he was the a test of guidance. Everybody could go to him in order to find the right path, to find the solution to his or her problems. So, compared with our days, it means the topmost authority of the day. Actually, the late Sharif al-Murtada, I mean, because of his multidimensional personality, he was such a high-ranking authority that both Shiite and Sunni scholars esteemed him in great honor. I mean, regarding him with great honor. And, quite a lot of important personalities were the outcome or the result of his college or university, including the late Sheikh Tusi, who later on founded the academic community of Al-Najaf al-Ashraf. I mean, Sheikh Tusi put the touchstone of the Najaf School of Religious Education, which has lost more than 1,000 years.
Was he the direct student of Sayyid al-Murtaza, or no, indirect one, through the reading and the writings or something like that?
Actually, Sheikh Tusi used to come to Sharif al-Murtaza in order to receive some education.
Okay.
Also, after his brother, Sharif al-Radi, he received the honorific title of Naqib al-Nuqaba, being the chief of all chiefs.
What does it mean etymologically?
Naqib means leader, means chief, means a great person. Nuqaba, the plural of that. For example, I should like to compare it with the title the King of Kings, the Poet of the Poets.
For example.
So Naqib al-Nuqaba means that he was in charge of all the leaders of the Shiite Muslim communities of the day in Iraq.
That's right.
Sharif al-Murtada was very much interested in fiqh, unlike his brother Sharif al-Radi, who was very much inclined to politics and literature.
Yeah, that's right.
Because of Sharif al-Murtada's erudition and contribution, he became the master of such religious fields of knowledge, such as kalam fiqh, usul al-fiqh, Arabic poetry, and even literature. But his academic reputation rests more on his scholarship in fiqh rather than in the realm of literature. But at the same time, such a person who is known for his contribution to the branch of fiqh, from Sharif al-Murtada, we have received some or more than 20,000 verses.
That's right.
Yet, we can say that he was an authority in fiqh, but not in literature. So, his academic reputation rests on fiqh, on his scholarship in fiqh, but at the same time, he had other valuable contributions.
But his brother became the compiler of Najaf al-Balagha. Why is it so?
Well, his brother was very much fascinated with the literary beauties of the Nahj al-Balagha.
You mean the sayings?
Yes.
And before the compiling the Nahj al-Balagha by Sayyid al-Razi, there was no book titled this?
No, actually, let me add this piece of information. Let me have this contribution. Before the compilation of Imam Ali's speeches and sermons and letters and aphorisms, homilies, in the form of Nahj al-Balagha, there was some other collections of Imam Ali's speeches. Okay, however, the contribution of Sharif al-Radi was in such a way that he organized them. He rearranged the materials we have received from Imam Ali, and that arrangement, even today, stays with us.
Now let's get to the books. You enumerated in some part of your speech in before the break some of the books. Enumerate them for us again, Dr. Fakhrani, and give us an elaboration on his most important book.
One of them is Al-Zakhira fi Usul al-Fiqh.
Okay.
I mean, the principles of studying fiqh, the religious rules.
All of the scholars of that time were considered with the fiqh or something like
yes,
that?
Even yes, even today there are. Well, they tend to be so.
How do you define it? How do you define fiqh?
Practical rules of Islam.
Uh-huh.
Okay, Islam in practice. That's the right. Practical aspects of Islam.
Something like practical treatise nowadays.
Yes.
We have the Islamic glossary.
Yes.
Okay.
And another one is Al-Ghurar wa-Durar. The book Al-Ghurar wa-Durar is a collection of very important literary religious sayings I mean, for example, I should like to analogize it with collections of proverbs, for example.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The next book is Al-Intisar, and then next, yet another book, Al-Shafi, okay? And the late Sharif al-Murtada compiled another book, Al-Tanzih al-Anbiya. In Al-Tanzih al-Anbiya, he deals with the lives and messages of the prophets before the Prophet of Islam, and also including the Prophet of Islam.
What do you mean? You mean Jesus Christ, Moses?
Yes, yes, yes. He dealt with, I mean, other prophets of the Abrahamic religion.
That's right.
Yes.
Very nice.
And the last one, Jamal al-Ilm wal-Amal. Okay? This book is concerned with the beauties of knowledge and practice, or knowledge and practical aspects of that.
That's right. Okay, thank you very much, Dr. Farhwani. Any concluding remark, any lesson, what lesson we should take from the life of Sayyid al-Murtaza as a concluding remark?
Yes, being a scholar, I mean, having the intent of being a scholar is one thing. At the same time, a real scholar should seek help from God, without which he can contribute nothing. Not to the
knowledge. What do you mean? Knowledge. You mean they first trusted in their knowledge and they get to the God, they understand the God through their knowledge? Or no, they understand God as a presupposition and then get to?
I think first and foremost, a person must do his or her best in order to acquire some knowledge and information. And then, on the basis of this information, he should seek more guidance from God. Because having no knowledge, how can we appreciate God?
That's right. That's right. Thank you very much, Dr. Farhwani. About the burial chamber of Sayyid al-Murtaza, do you have any information to give?
Yes, his burial chamber, his tomb, is located in Baghdad near the sacred sanctuary of the two infallible Imams, Imam Musa al-Kazim and Imam Muhammad al-Jawad.
Is it near? I've heard it is across from.
No.
It is near?
On the one side of the street, you can find the sanctuary. On the other side of the street, you have to cross just a very small square. And on the other side of the street, you find the tombs of these two brothers quite close to each other.
But the city, what is the name of that city?
Al-Kazimiyyah, the district of Al-Kazimiyyah in Baghdad.
That's right, that's right. Yes. And beside him is also his brother, buried there. That's right, two brothers. Together. Thank you very much. It is said and it is documented that Sayyid al-Murtaza, in fact, passed away at the age of 81 in the year about 436 AH or 1044
AD.
Thank you very much, Dr. Farhwani, for a nice elaboration on the life and works of Sayyid al-Murtaza, mainly known as Alam al-Huda or the Banner of Guidance.
Welcome.
Dear Muslims, dear brothers and sisters from around the world, this is the end to another edition of the program The Immortals. The program The Immortals, as you know, is mainly concerned with the life and works of the outstanding dignitaries, the Persian and Muslim ones in different fields of studies all around the world. You can also refer to our website at www.coiradio.com. We'll be also happy with your comments, votes and opinions on this program at coi@sinarib.ir. A specific form under the title Luminaries is also dedicated to the life and works of the luminaries in our website under the title Luminaries. You can also refer there for the text of this program, The Immortals. Thank you very much again. Have a nice time and goodbye.
You are very special. There's no one just like you. Created by the Master, Allah created you. You are very special, exclusively designed. You are very special, and I'm so glad you're mine. You were made by Allah. He fashioned your heart. You were made by Allah. He knew you from the start. You were made by Allah. Unique in all your ways. bright little eyes he gave you to help you find your way. May Allah grant them wisdom to see you through each day. You are very special, there's only one of you. You are very special, and remember I love you. You were made by Allah, He fashioned your heart. You were made by Allah, He knew you from the start. You were made by Allah, unique in all your ways. You were made by Allah to praise Him all your days. Whatever life will bring you, whatever you will bear, remember your Creator. Allah is always there. And when your world is crumbling with pain and darkness too, just look into your heart. Allah is there for you.